This morning, I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Okay, Joshua chapter 1 is the account of the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. I was so glad to hear that you're going to be taking up a study in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament has wonderful spiritual lessons for us. We have the authority of God's Word to say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, all these things happened that were in the Old Testament. All these things happened and are written for our admonition. So they're not just fairy tales. They're not just interesting stories that have moral lessons to them. They are actual things that occurred in the Scriptures, but they occurred for our benefit. And so it's for us, it's up to us to make sure we read the Word of God and then study it and then find out what the spiritual lessons are for us in the Word of God. We want to apply them to our personal lives. Help us in our walk with Christ. Help us in our witness for Christ. Help us in our appreciation for all that He's done for us. To make ourselves available so the Holy Spirit can work in and through our lives so we can honor and glorify Him. The whole purpose, we're told in the Scriptures, is that the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, of a clear conscience or clean conscience, and that we might have a true faith, a genuine faith. And so God wants us to honor and glorify Him in our words, our attitudes, our actions, everything. The grace of God does not come to us in vain, the Scripture says. So it's important for us to understand these spiritual lessons. And one of the great spiritual lessons that we have in the Scriptures is the account of the nation of Israel's sojourn from Egypt to Canaan. Now, sometimes I have these things right in front of me so I can see that, but you'll see here the book of Joshua, and I have to step back a little bit here, but that's why I'm glad I have the mic on. The book of Joshua is the record of Israel's entrance into their physical inheritance, and that's the key thing. God had promised the nation of Israel that they could go into a land, so it was a physical blessing, a physical promise that he had given to them to go into the land of promise. He made that promise in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. He said it very clearly. He said, I'm going to bring you, I will bring you. There was no uncertainty about it. I will bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's, of course, found again in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. He said that to Moses, but he was speaking, of course, to the whole nation of Israel. And so the record of Joshua taking the children of Israel into the land of promise is given to us in that whole book of Joshua. And it's after their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness. Now, I say sojourn purposely, because if I were to ask the question of each one of you, how long did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? Usually, the answer 99% of the time is that they wandered for 40 years. But technically, that's not correct. We can show you chapter and verse to point that out. But God's intention for bringing the children of Israel through the wilderness was to teach them some valuable lessons. Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks all about that. He said, I'm going to humble you, I'm going to test you to see if you would keep His commandments or not. And so God had a purposeful design in leading them into the wilderness so it would reinforce the lessons of faith and dependence upon Him. But as we know, they failed very much in the wilderness. And when the opportunity came for them to go into the land of promise at a point called Kadesh Barnea, if you remember the account, they sent 12 spies in. Only 2 came back with a positive report, right? 10 came back with a negative report. They were in that area in the land of Canaan doing some reconnaissance or, you know, spy work. The 12 spies went out to check out the land. And they were in there for 40 days. When they came back and they had that negative report, and those 10 spies successfully convinced the nation of Israel that we can't go in, we're grasshoppers in their sights and all the rest, God said, because of that, I'm going to keep you out of the land for 40 years. Now, they already had gone into the wilderness for 2 years, so there was an additional 38 years. So the answer to that question technically is the children of Israel wandered for 38 years. They sojourned, they trekked through the wilderness, whatever phrase you want to use, for 40 years, but they wandered in the wilderness for 38. And the spiritual picture that we have is this. Unless we're calling upon the Lord for help, and we're depending upon Him in prayer and the study of His Word, we too can wander in the wilderness of our Christian experience. But God wants us to move ahead. God wants us to push forward in our commitment to Christ. He wants us to enter into our inheritance just like the children of Israel entered into their physical inheritance. God wants us to enter into a spiritual inheritance. Now, the Scripture tells us that we have an inheritance already for us, 1 Peter chapter 1. I think I have that verse lined up for us. By the way, I want to mention to you, how long would it take for the children of Israel to go from Egypt to Canaan? How long would it have been? If you look here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, it says just 11 days. All it would take is 11 days to go from Mount Horeb, which is where they received the law, Sinai, all the way up to Egypt, rather Canaan, from Egypt, would have been just 11 days. That's all it would have taken. They ended up going 40 years. And so that's just a real powerful spiritual lesson for us, that some of us can wander, so to speak, in our Christian experience, not really tapping into the strength and resources that are available to us in Christ by the reading of His Word and obedience to it. And that's why that reading in Joshua chapter 1 was so apropos, verses 6 through 9. Be of good courage, do all those things that are in the law, and you'll prosper as you go. And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about claim, name it and claim it and get whatever you want. I'm just talking about the spiritual components of these things. And so that's what the Word of God tells us. As a matter of fact, God did not want to lead them through the land of the Philistines, which was the easier way. If you were to look at a map in the back of your Bibles, you would see if they went from Egypt to Canaan and went along the coastline, that's an easy route. That's not a hard way to take. That's level. But God purposely led them down to the rugged terrain to the south. So again, they would learn those lessons, not easy lessons. And so the life of Christ, the life of faith, is not easy. It goes against the grain, goes against what we do naturally. We like to do things according to our thinking, but God's Word tells us that we do things a little differently, a lot differently. And so God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, it says in Exodus 13. Although that was near, lest perhaps, God says, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Of course, that is reinforced over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, when he said they would have had an opportunity to return. They would have turned back because they would have seen the war, so they would want to be tempted to go back. And it's easy for young Christians, too. I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. And, you know, after you start seeing some of the adversities there are in the Christian life, tempted to slip back and say, oh, you know, maybe it was easier the way I had it before I was a believer. And there's temptation to do that, to slide back, and some do that. But God wants us to push forward in our Christian life, to be more committed to Him, to enter into the realities of the Christian life. Paul said to Timothy, lay hold of eternal life, 1 Timothy 6:12. And Timothy was a believer, so it wasn't like he was saying, you know, come become a Christian. He was saying to him, lay hold of eternal life, really grasp the realities of the Christian life. And so that's what God wants for us to do. And so the wonderful spiritual picture that we have in Joshua chapter 1 and all through the book of Joshua is the spiritual picture of the believer moving ahead, just like the children of Israel moved ahead in their physical inheritance, going up against the stronghold of Jericho and learning some lessons, and even they had suffered some defeat. So Canaan doesn't speak of heaven. It speaks of the victorious Christian life, and every now and then there is a setback like they had at Ai. But then to get up and say, nope, I'm not going to stay this way. I'm going to move ahead in my life for the Lord. And that's where all of us want or should want to be. That's what God has given to us. And so the whole lesson of Egypt to Canaan reminds us of that. Yeah, there is the world behind us, the land of Egypt, in all its glory, but all its sin and everything else. Moses was tempted to stay there. He saw all the treasures of Egypt that was before him, but he realized to suffer the reproach for Christ, it says in Hebrews. Greater riches, to esteem the riches of Christ better than all the treasures of Egypt. And so there's fruits, and there's blessing, and there's abundance for the Christian as well as they move ahead to things of the Lord Jesus. So the spiritual picture then is of a believer's entrance into their spiritual inheritance, a deeper walk with the Lord, deeper commitment. And every Christian does indeed have a guaranteed spiritual inheritance, not physical. We can't really claim there and say, well, God owes me a Cadillac or two Cadillacs or five Cadillacs. One time I heard a preacher get up there and he had a diamond rings on every finger. He says, this is the inheritance that, you know, that, not that. We're not talking about that. There's no guarantee of an inheritance from that in the Scriptures, the New Testament. There is some promises that if you live for the Lord, you'll suffer persecution. All those that live godly will suffer persecution. That's a whole different message that we see in the New Testament. But this is what we do find in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we have an inheritance which is undefiled. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance in heaven. The full understanding of all that we have in Christ will be realized in a future day when we go to be with the Lord and see Him in glory. No question about it. But God is challenging you and me to make sure that we begin apprehending and appreciating all that we have in Christ. He has given us the Holy Spirit, not then, now. And He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. All these wonderful promises to enter into them and appreciate them. And sometimes we go through the troughs of trials and valleys of difficulties to realize that He is there. He is there to remind us that He's walking with us and seeing us through the trials and tribulations. And any of you and all of us really have gone through some sort of trial and valley one time or another, especially as you get older, you get health issues and all that, to realize the Lord's sustaining power and grace through it all. And so we do have an inheritance, but it's up to us to understand and appreciate that. And so it's incumbent upon us to tap into these things. And so and there's that verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let me call your attention to the tense there. It says that we have obtained an inheritance. Past tense. So the inheritance is there. It's waiting for us in heaven, but we've already entered into it. For a number of years, I worked in personnel in a corporation. And the wonderful thing was to explain to a new employee, anybody who's got their own business can appreciate this too. When you hire a new employee, because of the fact that you are a person is an employee, you bring them into the office, sit them down, and say, now that you are working for such and such an organization, let me explain the benefit package to you. We have a pension plan, or we have, health insurance, and, you go right through the whole thing. And you see their eyes light up. Ooh, this is wonderful. I have health insurance now. I didn't have before. And I have, this savings plan or whatever it is. Because of their identification with that corporation, they enter into all the benefits of that. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given, so to speak, a benefit package, a spiritual benefit package. And so that's why when it says we've obtained an inheritance. And then another great verse, of course, you know the other verse in Ephesians chapter 1 as well, verse 3, blessed be the Lord God who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not physical, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So once again, the spiritual blessings. Paul referred to this when he was speaking with the elders at Ephesus. He says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. So that appreciation and entering into that comes from the knowledge of God's word. The word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. And then, of course, there's a great verse too in Acts 26:18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, Paul said as he's preaching to the Gentiles, and give them an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so these are all wonderful verses to highlight, keep in mind as we consider this account from Joshua chapter 1. So let's take a look at some of the details that we have before us in these scriptures that we've looked at. Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant or minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And God is laying out to the nation of Israel actual physical dimensions from the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to the river Euphrates. These were physical dimensions, your actual dimensions that God was giving the nation of Israel, physical inheritance that they were to receive. And so they were to enter into these things. And God had made that promise, as we mentioned before, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, I will bring you into the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, from a spiritual counterpart, spiritual parallel, we have these verses that we mentioned before. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. God has given every single Christian a spiritual benefit package. When I was a new Christian, somebody gave me a bumper sticker. I put it on my car, and I thought it was great. It lasted for many years until the car fell apart before the bumper sticker did. But, you know, that's how first cars are, right? And it says the Christian's retirement benefits are out of this world. I thought that was a nice little bumper sticker. And they are out of this world, you know, wonderful blessings that we have. But when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives you the Holy Spirit immediately. And it's kind of like a built-in truth detector. The Holy Spirit comes in and it reminds you of the things of Christ. That's His ministry. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ and to remind you and call into all things into remembrance what He's taught us. So that's some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given an understanding. 1 John chapter 5, the very end of that portion says that we now have an understanding you didn't have before. Before I was a Christian, I could open up the Bible here and look at it, and it was, you know, made no sense to me. But as soon as I became a Christian, I could start beginning understanding the Word of God. It might have been milk, not meat, but at least I had an understanding. And I had an assurance in my heart that Christ was living in my heart. Well, a wonderful spiritual blessing, part of the family of God, an enjoyment of fellowship with fellow believers. I used to work for a computer school when I first started out. I would travel all around the state of New Jersey speaking to various assembly of high school students about careers in computers. And as I traveled around, I would always be interested in this church building or that church building, and you know, whether it was South Jersey or North Jersey, it didn't matter, because I had an interest in those things now that I didn't have before. That's part of the assurance that God has come into my heart and when I trusted Christ as Savior. That reference in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, is the charge that that Paul gave Timothy, lay hold of eternal life. So important spiritual truths to us. Now, that's the law of land to possess. So the point of verses 1 through 4 is that God was affirming to the nation of Israel that there is indeed a land to possess. And the spiritual lessons that are coming out of the book of Joshua is this: there is a spiritual land to possess for the Christian. But it's going to require a commitment to move forward. Not to stay in this low standard of living as a Christian, but to move ahead and require some diligence and some faith. And they were not going to cross over the land into the land of Canaan, but they had to cross over the Jordan first. And chapter 2 and chapter 3 is filled with spiritual lessons on a spiritual plane for the Christian. The importance of putting aside this and putting away, not just putting aside, but putting away the things that might be holding you back from moving ahead into a life of victory. Because that's what the land of Canaan was to be. They were to follow their spiritual leader. And, you know, you're talking about the lessons that come from the Old Testament. Joshua really is the Hebrew form of Jesus. Or said another way, Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, the same name. And so the spiritual lesson is that just as Joshua, the captain of the nation of Israel, was to lead them into their inheritance, Christ leads us into our inheritance as we follow Him. And so to understand and grasp this truth, we have Joshua chapter 1, which shows us the prerequisites of entering into the land. So what are the prerequisites for moving ahead in the Christian life? And the one is this, is that to understand there is a spiritual land to possess. There is perhaps, and say it this way, something better for you than just the mediocre, average, so to speak, way of living that we might be going through right now. And that's what God is reminding us here and underscoring very clearly in the book of Joshua. So there is a spiritual land to possess, a land of spiritual blessings to tap into. They're already ours. We'll enter into full understanding of that in a future day in glory when we're with Christ. But God wants us to understand these things now and begin to enter into that even now. And so verses 1 through 4 remind us of that truth. It says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Which incidentally is reiterated for us in Hebrews chapter 13. The great reminder that the Lord is with us all the time. And so you hear that verse here. And you also see it in the book of Hebrews. The second thing we get out of this is that there is a law to obey. That verse that we just read, and then verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Some may make more of this verse than it really is. They'll try to convince you, perhaps, that it's your right to make sure that you have a Cadillac and all the rest, you know, the nice car. Here was the promise to the nation of Israel from a physical standpoint in the land that they were going. But from a spiritual standpoint, we can pull away, step back from this and say, this is what the lesson that God is teaching us here is: obedience brings blessing. It's not a guaranteed physical blessing, but the blessing to your heart, your soul, knowing that you're pleasing the Lord, doing those things that are right in His sight. That's the blessing that we're talking about. That's the spiritual blessing, to realize that the Lord is with us and the Lord strengthens us, and to tap into the promises that are in God's Word. And so we are reminded of that in many, many scriptures. I just threw one up there. Psalm 111, verse 10, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Now, you and I would say when we do all His commandments, we'll have a good understanding. God says, no, it's just the opposite. The life of faith is sometimes just the opposite of what we think humanly. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So you do His commandments in faith, trusting Him. It may not make sense, but if His Word tells us to do something, we move ahead, and then we have the understanding. The understanding comes afterwards sometimes. God is trying to reinforce the life of faith and the life of the Christian. And so that principle is very strong. That's what He wanted to teach the children of Israel all during the sojourn from Egypt to Canaan. But they wouldn't listen. They would complain and all the rest. But here, again, they're ready to move forward now into the land of Canaan. So that's a great verse, Psalm 111, verse 10. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Another lesson that we learn is found in verses 10 through 15. Look at those for just a moment. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves for 3 days. You will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And look at this in verse 12. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and a half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, he singled these 2.5 tribes out. He almost like pulled them aside. He says, now I have something I want to tell you folks here. So why was he separating of the 12 tribes of Israel, these 2.5 tribes? There's something that's going on here. He says to them in verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as He gave you, and they also shall have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. So why did He single out these 2.5 tribes? Well, when the nation of Israel was being told that they would go into the land, these 2.5 tribes said, you know what? We like this area pretty much. It's good for grazing, for the cattle. We're content right here. We don't really want to go into the land of Canaan. Now, God had said, go into the land of Canaan. God said it. They said, nah, we're okay right here. We're fine. This looks pretty good. This is nice land for our cattle. God said, okay, well, you know, and there's a whole bunch of different scriptures that relate to this. God said, no, you have to go. You're part of a group. It's a whole big group. You all have to go in. And you do your battles in the land of Canaan, all that, you 2.5 tribes. And when it's all said and done, if you want to, it's your prerogative, if you want to, you can come back to this side of the Jordan and you can settle right here if you want to. That's your decision. But you're all part of the company of God's people. That's what He's charging these 2.5 tribes with. What He's telling you and me about this is a very powerful lesson in the Christian life. These 2.5 tribes were living on the border. And they had the opportunity to go in and enjoy the fruit of the land. Remember when the spies went in? It came back with the first ripe grapes, and it took two men to carry them. Tradition says those two men were Joshua and Caleb. They had to put the pole on their shoulders and carry these huge first ripe grapes. Now, that's first ripe grape. What are the last ripe grapes like? I mean, they had to be even bigger. And so these spies came back, and they showed the evidence of the fruit of the land. Here it is. It's a wonderful, but there's adversaries, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And that's what these spies did. Tremendous benefit for moving forward, but there is pushback. Christian has adversaries, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. One of the biggest problems is right inside here, right? The flesh. That's one of the biggest problems. But there's the world, the flesh, the devil. These keep us from moving ahead. But God is there with us, and He's given us the resources in His Word. He's given us the promises to help us out. He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can move. We can always triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But we need to rely on Him, not trust in the arm of our own strength. And so great lessons here for us all. What's some of these things? Well, I just want to show you just real quickly, if you don't mind, hopefully you have your Bibles in hand. Let me just show you 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, but 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Just turn for a second if you have your Bible with you. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 20, well, 25 begins it, but I'll read just verse 26 for the sake of time. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 26. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, the king of Assyria, that is, his name was Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. Those same two and a half tribes. He took them to Halal, Habor, Harar, and the river of Gozan to this day. Where those two and a half tribes settled was in the north. And the north was where the enemies of Israel would first enter into the land of Israel to attack. You know, if you're a border-living Christian, you are more vulnerable to attack from the outside, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're living on the border. You're putting yourself, in a sense, in harm's way. The safest place for you to be is fully committed to the Lord, and that's where God's going to really, you know, you're going to see real blessing. But if you're compromised, if you're halfway Christian, if you're border-living Christian, you're opening yourself up to all sorts of problems, and that's what happened with these two and a half tribes. When this king called Pul, king of Assyria, came, he attacked that area, and they were right in harm's way. And so some real powerful lessons here for the Christian life. It's worth your while to be more dedicated to the Lord than to say, oh, I don't want to be dedicated. I'm going to incur some opposition if I'm not dedicated. You're going to move ahead in the things of Christ. Joshua chapter 22, there was a misunderstanding. These two and a half tribes said, we don't want to be that far away, so they built their own altar. And when the other tribes of Israel heard about it, they got mad, and there was almost a civil war. They went charging after him, saying, what are you doing building a second altar? There's only one altar in Israel. So there was misunderstandings between the border-living believers and the core, the faithful core. There's problems there. And then in Mark chapter 5, which I think is very interesting, if anybody knows the scriptures in Mark chapter 5, that's when the Lord Jesus went into the region of Gadara, and there was the man that was possessed with all those demons. Where was he living? In Gadara. The Gadarenes. Who were the Gadarenes? They were the offspring, so to speak, of the Gadites, the tribe of Gad. And they were pig, farmers. That's interesting. Manasseh, Reubenites, the Manasseh, tribe of Manasseh, and the Reubenites, the Gadites, and a half-tribe of them. Those Gadites later became the Gadarenes. And that's where the demon-possessed man was, amongst the Gadarenes. So down the line, the posterity of the Gadites in Joshua chapter 1 became the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5. And they were pig farmers. Remember, the demons went into the pigs. So some really powerful spiritual lessons. So it's worth our while to be full tilt for the Lord. Because if not, our posterity will you know, some be compromised, perhaps. Everybody is responsible for the Lord, but it's a good lesson for us to learn. So that's a lesson to learn. And then there is, of course, finally the leader to follow. And we see that in the final verses here that God is giving to the nation of Israel. Going back to Joshua chapter 1, we're wrapping up right now, but Joshua chapter 1, just go back to that, and they'll say, this is what the word is to the children of Israel. Look with me at verse 16. So they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you." That's what their intention was. But did they do it? No, they didn't necessarily follow the Lord all the way. Joshua all the way. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, we're told that the Lord Jesus will bring many sons to glory. The captain of their salvation is made perfect through sufferings. It's a reference to Christ. But Christ is Joshua, could be called Joshua. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, especially in the King James, you'll see the Lord Jesus referred to as Joshua, because it means Jehovah saves. And just as the nation of Israel was to follow Joshua in entering into their inheritance and follow his lead, and he did fail, so I mean the comparisons break down, but he is a picture of Christ in the sense that he leads his people into their inheritance. But they are to follow him, and they are not to just be on their own. And so here is the charge: be strong and of good courage and follow the Lord. Follow the leader. That's what we used to play when we were little kids, right? I guess the kids still play that these days. Follow the leader. You follow the leader. Whatever the leader goes and does, you follow. And that's what the nation of Israel is being reminded of here, that they needed to follow Joshua. Joshua was the one who did not depart from the temple. And yeah, that's what I was looking for. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 13, he did battle against Amalek. Remember that account? Moses is up on the mount and his hands are being held up. And Joshua is down in the valley. And when Moses' hands were down, Joshua was, you know, having harder problems. It reminds us of the need for praying for one another. And when Moses' hands were lifted up, then Joshua prevailed. And it says eventually in that verse 13 that Joshua prevailed over Amalek. Amalek is always a picture of the flesh in the Old Testament. Amalek was related to Israel. And it reminds us of the fact that we have problems within the flesh, what the Bible teaches the flesh. And the way we're going to have conquest over the flesh is prayer. And people praying for us. That's wonderful lessons from Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 33:11 reminds us that Joshua did not depart out of the temple. He was in it all the time. He was a faithful believer. And in that way, he's a picture of Christ. Same thing with Numbers chapter 27. He was inaugurated there. God said to Moses, these people need a shepherd. They need to have leadership. And so put your hand on Joshua. He's the one that's going to take them into the land. That's what Numbers chapter 27 talks about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we quoted already, God causes us to triumph in Christ as we follow him. And so the challenge for us, all of us here this morning, is this. What in terms of the assessment of your own walk with Christ, are you moving out of the land of the wilderness and the wandering, and are you moving ahead into the promised land? The promised land, the spiritual land of blessing. Again, it's not no guarantee for physical things that God has promised. Some will say that. But what we're saying here from the Joshua chapter 1 is there's a very powerful spiritual lesson for you and for me to move ahead in the things of Christ. There is a land to possess, a spiritual land to possess, to tap into. And there are some lessons that we need to learn, but we need to obey the Word of God. As we obey the Word of God, God gives us this desire, the inward desire to honor Him and to please Him in what He wants us to do. And so that's a challenge to myself, that's a challenge to each one of us, that we follow the Lord in obedience. And so Joshua chapter 1 is a great lesson, great chapter to learn those lessons from. And so we trust the Lord will bless our hearts from that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, we thank you again for the spiritual lessons that come from your precious word. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit, his ministry is to remind us of these things. And so we pray, Father, that as we consider these truths and the promises of your word, that we might indeed see the spiritual lesson that's available for us to learn from. And so we pray, our Father, that we might indeed move forward and that we might be willing to count ourselves as those that are there to honor and glorify you and to enter into your inheritance. Thank you for your gifts to us, Father. Thank you for your blessings to us, the promises of your word. And we pray that each one of us might indeed say amen in our hearts to all that we have studied this morning from Joshua chapter 1. We pray and ask your blessing in Christ's name.